Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow. Welcome back to the Moscow Mules. Nice to see you again. We're delighted to have you. I'm Shay Bose and I'm joined, of course, by the man with the plan, Augie. And we've got a real whacker of a show for you this week. What's been going on? Well, let's say the turkeys have signed up for Thanksgiving. Some have escaped the chop, not just in Washington, but also in Kiev. Yeah, we've been warning you, right, Augie? And we're going to gloat a bit. We've been warning you about this corruption in this complete basket case country called Ukraine for years. Yeah, we've been telling you about it. But when we tell you about it, it's Kremlin talking points and it's disinformation. But now the Guardian's talking about it. Yeah, the Times is talking about it, the Financial Times. Everybody's talking about it. Yeah, and when they say it, it's breaking news. When we say it, it's breaking the rules. Yeah, well, Augie, we were right. We're going to keep saying it all show. This is the We Were Right show. And somebody else that's kind of been right, Augie, is Mr. Trump. Because he kind of called out Zelensky, you know, way back when, saying, you know, you don't have the cards. You don't have the cards. You never had the cards. And again, it seems he doesn't have the cards. But he did get a card, a pass. One turkey was pardoned. There was another turkey pardoned in Kiev today when Yermak, Andrei Yermak, another man that we've been talking about, the dark bishop, the man with the immense power of, you know, basically governing Zelensky's office. He just handed in his resignation because the boys, backed by America, Naboo, have kicked the door down in his house and he's up to his tits in corruption too. What a show. So the big Don has little Mr. Z right where he wants him. And I don't think he's going to drop the piano on him just yet, Augie. Let's have a look at what happened in Washington. This is a real beauty. Run the video, Augie.
It is very important. You are hereby unconditionally...
Now, Augie and I told you this is going to be the We Told You So episode. And there's something else, right, Augie? We've been telling the guys at home, back in the US, back in Germany, back in the old UK, which, by the way, are the places most people are watching this show. We've been telling you something else about Ukraine. It's not only an exceptionally, exquisitely corrupt... It's also run by a man who's fond of the old Colombian talcum powder, right, Augie? Now, of course, that's... that's not just us saying it. Lots of people have said this. The evidence suggests that the man is, you know, let's say, fond of a little bit of talcum powder. Now, any evidence? Well, we may do. We may have a little bit of evidence. It seems that not only are people fleeing the army in their hundreds of thousands, even the cocaine wants to get out of the narco Führer's nose. Right, Augie? This is classic. Run the video. Boom, there it goes.
Look.
There you go. It's a high-speed missile. Yeah.
There's your taxpayer money flying right out of his nose.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, this is a bit like the kind of the old, you know, the, what was it, the tissue, the piece of paper off the, table on the train. It's all, you know, it all means that it's all Russian disinformation.
Cocainum.
I suppose, Augie, it's all Russian disinformation too that tens of thousands of people are literally running away from the narco-Führer's army.
Absolutely. It's definitely a Russian disinformation. And here you can see a link to the Russian disinformation website BBC.
Oh,
around 21,000 people have deserted the Ukrainian army just in October. The total number is around like 400,000.
Yeah, imagine that was the Chinese army, the Iranian army, or the Russian army. That would be the front page news. And actually, a Ukrainian MP has said that there are now as many people have run away from the army in Ukraine that are actually serving in it. So like, yeah, there's probably 800,000 people who have joined, but only 400,000 hung around because they probably couldn't get out, didn't have the money, or didn't have the balls to just run as soon as they got to the front, which is probably the best advice we can give the boys. Well, you might be onto something there. It's all Russian propaganda. Of course, everything that they've said, we've been saying that's Russian propaganda, we've been proven completely right. And this is just great because we don't mind. We can wait. We can wait for you to crawl and say, well, you're actually right. Let's have a look at a Ukrainian little news piece where a very, you know, well made up, very pristine looking Ukrainian soldier, my ass, she's never been close to a front line in her life. The only line she's been on is in a line for a nightclub in Florida, probably, or in, the south of France. And she's saying that, you know, there's a terrible narrative creeping in that, you know, you shouldn't bother dying for NATO or for the narco-fuhrer or for a corrupt Ukraine. You shouldn't bother doing that. That's not true. It's all coming from abroad. Yeah, I suppose the 400,000 people that run away from the army are coming from abroad, or the people getting dragged off the streets in Odessa, in Kryvyi Rog, all over Ukraine. That's all fake as well. Just like the corruption was fake, right? Yeah, come on. Run the video, Augie.
What we're seeing now, I don't want to die. A good hero is a dead hero. That's the narrative that's currently, I think, being imposed from outside, from across the border, which has taken root in the minds of many, and which in principle stops many people from taking that step to go to war, to fight. If you're going to kill, you don't think about the fact that you might die.
Give me a break.
Now, just for a second, imagine a person who would look you straight into the eye and say, I want to die for Zelensky.
Yeah, I think there's about 12 of them, and they're all AI generated because everybody else is dead, sadly. Now, of course, we're very balanced here on the Moscow Mules. We believe that you should always research a story and have a look and see what's going on. So I asked Augie to, you know, go online on Ukrainian channels to search for evidence that this girl was right, that this is all made up. And she found a very convincing looking video of a young Ukrainian gentleman being convinced, let's say, by a very delicately posed Ukro-Nazi to join the army. This army that everyone wants to join, it's all made up, no one's running away, they're not losing, they haven't lost Pokrovsk, they haven't lost Kupiansk, it's all fake, it's all made up. Comical Ali from Iraq, you know. It's kind of remarkable. So Augie came up with some evidence that this is all made up, but it all looks very convincing to me. Particularly the part where the very willing volunteer gets his teeth kicked in by one of Zelensky's thugs. Oh yeah, for real. Run the video, Augie. Here we go. Boom, boom. Yeah, a couple of kicks in the head. Now, what's interesting, if you look at the video again, is how people are getting so used to this. Check it out. The old lady walking by, doing her shopping, looks over. Oh, yeah, it's just a press gang. Someone getting abducted to go and die in the war for NATO. Yeah, what time is it? I've got to go home and put the potatoes on. This is Ukraine. Slava Insania. But stop the press. There's always two sides to every story, right? But in this case, when it comes to the Ukrainiacs and the Ukro scammers, there's only one coin. There are two different sides. And on one side is the people dying, having their homes destroyed, their money stolen, the vast corruption. Yeah, that's one side. The other side of the coin are the people who are facilitating it. And in some ways, you could say those people, right, Augie, are actually worse than the poor people who've been manipulated or forced to die in their war. And one of the key people involved in the EU Fourth Reich right now is probably one of the most stupid women that ever stood up on two legs, right, Augie? A lady called Kaja Kallas. Now, she's from a country called Estonia. Now, for those of you that don't know, here we're going to do a little bit of a geography lesson, Augie. Estonia is a country with 1.4 million people. Yeah, shit you not. The head of diplomacy, who hasn't got a clue what day of the week it is from a country called Estonia in Europe. 1.4 million people. She's consistently going around putting her foot in her mouth, making an absolute idiot of herself. Most recently saying that it was news to her that the Russians and Chinese had won World War II. Now, the latest one is even better. She says, Augie, give us the numbers. What has she said this time?
It turns out that within the last 100 years, Russia attacked more than 19 countries which have never attacked Russia itself. And you know, Che, anyway, I tried to count this up. Turns out, I think she means that Germany, the poor Nazi Germany, was attacked by Russia.
Okay, so she says that Russia has attacked 19 countries that never attacked her. Or attacked Russia, right? So that means even in any sort of situation where you said that, you'd have to count the countries that Russia had to go through in order to take Berlin back from the evil Nazis who'd murdered millions and millions of people and wanted to take over Europe and bomb London in, right? So she's a complete delusionist. The woman is completely insane. But You know, the emperor has no clothes. Ukraine isn't corrupt. They're winning the war. Nobody's dead over there. There's, you know, a couple of people with twisted ankles. There's not a million and a half people under the ground in Ukraine. It's a complete clown world show. And these are the people who are in charge of it. Run the video, Augie.
Last 100 years, Russia has attacked more than 19 countries, some as many as 3 or 4 times. None of these countries has ever attacked Russia.
Look, so, did she... you know, the other thing you notice about Kallas, Augie, right? You know, the other thing you notice, the other thing you notice about Kallas is this, right? And this is every time she makes a speech, every time you notice this. Watch. Russia has attacked 19 countries. Some of them she has attacked many times. She's reading this off a piece of paper. So not only is she dumb, she's not convincing, but it means there's probably someone even dumber than her who's handing her this to say, and she's stupid enough to say it.
Oh, well, pardon me, Mr. Perfect.
What was it they said, Augie? Put the women in charge, Ursula, Kaya, you know, bareback. Put the women in charge and there'd be no more wars. Yeah, that worked out great, didn't it, Augie?
Oh, Jay, don't forget the most peaceful of them, Miss Strach-Zimmermann.
So was, du Dödel? Komm doch mal her. Leg dich mal hier mit mir an. Dazu hast du nicht mal den Hintern in der Hose.
Oh, Strach-Zimmermann, our old friend. Yeah, kind of turns me on a bit. Now, newsflash. You might think that it's just stupid Estonians who've got sort of DEI jobs, because that's basically what Kallas is. It was kind of Estonia's turn to get a position. And this exceptionally unpopular woman, who's very unpopular, she's admitted it, that she's very unpopular in Estonia, who's now the head of EU diplomacy, who has no clue what's going on. You know, you think that maybe it's just that, maybe it's just the DEI, maybe it's just the stupid Estonians. No, it's not. There are more lunatics in Europe at this time. And one of them is the head of the French military. Augie, this is absolutely remarkable. A head of the French military basically saying to the people of France, who are dealing with a huge cost of living crisis, massive immigration, huge social dysfunction, massive schism in French society. What are they told? Well, you have to get ready for your children to die. Yes, I kid you not. Get ready for your kids to die. Because if you're not ready for your kids to die, you're not ready for war, and we're all getting ready for war. Now, my kids won't die in it, you know, mein commandant general. No, of course, the big French general's kids won't die. Macron's kids won't die. Oh, he doesn't have any kids. Him and his husband are childless. Or sorry, him and his wife are childless. Yeah, come on, give us a break. But this is for real. Run the video, Augie.
If our country falters because it is not ready to accept... losing its children, because we have to say things as they are.
What?
To suffer economically, because priorities will go, for example, to defense production.
My God.
If we are not ready for that, then we are at risk.
What?
But I believe we have the strength of character.
Hold on, Augie. Wait, now, let's go back over this for a second, right? So, if you're not ready for your children to die, your economy to be destroyed, then you're at risk. You're not at risk from your children dying or your economy getting destroyed by a making-up war with Russia, right? Am I hearing this right?
Well, I think, Shay, we should look at this way. If you're not willing to have your kids die in a war with Russia, your very elites won't be able, they will be at risk of not being able, of buying another 5 villas in Italy, or, I don't know, a couple of kids for Epstein Island.
That's what's at risk. You were at risk of not giving Zelensky and Yermak enough money to steal from the nuclear power stations. Of course, what better place could you think to steal $100 million from than the nuclear power station safety program and defense program? That's exactly where you need to steal the money from, right, Augie? Because, you know, after all, you know, Chernobyl's in Russia, right?
Well, you can always blame Russians. That's what Europeans believe anyway.
I'm surprised they didn't actually move Chernobyl into Russia physically and sort of drop it there and run back across the border, you know? So now you're getting with the program. You've accepted that your children are going to be killed and you're going to have no money. Okay. Now, what's the next thing you got to do, Augie? Well, the next thing you got to do is make sure that those children that you're about to sacrifice for NATO in a war that you made up with Russia because you f***ed over Ukraine and you got your ass handed to you, just to give you the background, you have to make sure that those children that are about to die, in this unnecessary conflict, which we've made up for NATO to sell weapons and buy weapons, that they don't know why they're going to die, basically, right, Augie? So you have to make sure that there's no possible chance they can listen to shows like us. Now, they've already banned us in the EU in some place, but you guys are still watching. We know, hey, hello, EU. Hello, Ursula. So you got to make sure, right, Augie, that they don't allow any kind of free speech. And that's the next phase. Think about it. Banning children and kids and young adults from any sort of knowledge that defers or deters or dissents from the pro-war narrative of her general. Yeah, it's absolutely insane. Run the video, Augie.
You give the responsibility of your teenagers who spent, on average, 4 to 5 hours per day on the social network. You give the responsibility of the content they are exposed to U.S. private providers or big Chinese companies. So when we speak about cyberbullying, when we speak about being exposed to pornography, when we speak about having some mental disease,
I mean, how's the wife? Clear.
This is exactly made
Emmanuel,
by these platforms.
When we speak about a mental disease, how's your wife?
Children vis-a-vis all these contents and all these platforms. Second, if we want to protect our democracies and preserve the well-functioning of our democracies,
have you looked around Paris lately, pal?
Well, the content of this platform.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
One second on this so-called free speech agenda.
It's all cyberbullying, Che. We are cyberbullying children into believing that they should not die for Macron.
Yeah. And, you know, Macron is very good at complaining about these tech platforms, right? But correct me if I'm wrong, Augie. Mr. Macron's security services asked Mr. Pavel Durov to have a look. Here it is. Directly asked him to interfere in the Romanian election and stop the anti-war, anti-NATO, anti-EU parties, which were leading in the polls, from winning. Yeah, and Durov was told, if you do that, we'll talk to the judge in your case that we've trumped up against you. Yeah. Yours truly was deported, arrested and detained and, pulled off a plane by six armed police in Romania to stop me going there to interview some politicians to tell that story. But Mr. Macron wants to stop your teenagers listening to people like us. I have no idea why, Augie. Absolutely no idea why.
Well, I guess, Che, we're just not built for the rules-based order.
Yeah, the rules-based order. They make the rules and they give the orders. Now, it's very difficult to talk about the beautiful French nation and not talk about the British. Remember, these two countries have fought more wars than Hunter Biden's smoke joints. And, you know, it's very interesting to watch these ex-great empires. Remember, Napoleon, Trafalgar. These boys went around the world murdering people in Egypt, in South Africa, all over the globe, India, Pakistan, Ireland. These weren't good boys. And now they're dispensing this, you know, idiotic advice and fear-mongering about Russia. You know, yeah, I don't think it's the Russians who are robbing this person's shop in the UK. Check this out. This is a shopkeeper who's so, what's the word, Augie? So depressed and desperate with the situation where her shop has been robbed like so many times that she actually goes up to the robbers and begs them, pleads with them. Please, just don't do this. Where do people go from here in the UK? What's meant to happen next? And where's Starmer? He's up in Brazil or he's in Kiev. You know, this is just, it's end stage UK at this stage. This is a very depressing little video in my view. Run the video, Augie.
Like, she understands there's no point in calling the police. Because these people, they're just doing the robbery. They're not doing mean tweets or something.
I mean, look, imagine 2025. You can, in the UK, you can walk into a shop, not even hurry, just fill your boots and walk out. No one's going to touch you. Not the shopkeeper, because the shopkeeper would go to prison for touching that person. Or the cops. The cops aren't in any way interested in these kind of petty crimes. All they say is, let them carry what they want out and send us to CCTV. That's where we are in Europe right now. That's the reality. And these are the people dispensing the advice on the corrupt dictatorship in Ukraine. It's all Russia's fault. Oh, yeah. Now, of course, at least out in the countryside, Augie, good old England, the good old green fields, in England's green and pleasant land, you know, the Jerusalem, this wonderful country, this sceptred isle, Shakespeare, you know, Sir Walter Raleigh, the War of the Roses. At least out in the countryside, you know, the UK is looking, it's looking beautiful, it's wonderful, right?
No. Absolutely beautiful, like the worst I can imagine.
Wait, the worst? Racist. Yeah, but this is actually much worse than some sort of trash recycling depot on the Niger Delta or, you know, in the worst sort of climatic catastrophe. It's really hard to describe this. So we should probably just show you the video. But I want to counter it with something. This has been growing for well over a year. People have been turning up, dumping this, taking money from people to dispose of their trash because it's getting too expensive with council tax and stuff for people to actually put their rubbish in the bins anymore. People are choosing in the UK between heating their homes and eating. That's for, that's real, that's true. And the Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, has just put taxes up in a very sneaky way, but people are going to pay more tax. There's no end in sight. There's no relief. Maybe we should go out into the countryside and have a little stroll, Oggy, and have a look at the beautiful countryside. I don't advise it. Run the video, Oggy.
It's just shocking to see the scale of what's taking place here. Behind me, I think we're probably 20 feet high or so, but running back along this site, doubles in height, and you can see the depth. We're talking hundreds at least, if not thousands of tons of waste. And it's just extraordinary that this could have taken place and that the criminals have put so much waste into our environment.
I know, it's the Russians, Shay.
So we leave the river of trash. But there's some English trash that we're going to continue to maintain contact with, and that's Piers Morgan. Gutter press editor, dedicated Russophobe, Ukrainiac, Ukro-scammer. You know, generally an unpleasant individual. Block me on X as well. I have no idea why. Now, one thing I have to give credit to Piers Morgan for, he started to platform people who find it difficult to get some time on the mainstream airways, George Galloway, Jeffrey Sachs, John Mearsheimer. So I got to say, in fairness to him, at least he's doing that much. But he keeps coming back for more punishment because he keeps getting his ass handed to him. Now, one man that's handed Pierce his own ass, sounds a bit wrong, and many times, is our friend Tucker Carlson, right, Oggy? And in this exchange, nothing's different. If only Tucker Carlson would run for president, you know? What if? We do love Tucker, right, Oggy? Run the video.
Would you say the word on camera?
No.
Why?
Because
you don't want to get arrested, do you?
No, I want to be arrested.
Because it's so harmful to people?
No.
Is it like gay bashing? What's wrong with that?
No, actually, my whole issue with the whole trans debate, for example, is you don't need to slide into actually saying derogatory stuff about trans people to make the point that women's rights should be protected. You don't need to.
Well, I agree.
So what? I don't believe.
No, but it's a magic word.
I don't believe in needlessly
slip in. You're talking about trans people and slipping in.
Well,
I'm not smearing anybody. I just think.
But why would you use that word? Yeah.
I just did.
But would you? Okay, but why?
And I'm using it because you're not allowed to because you're.
I'm allowed to.
Go ahead.
I don't want to.
Say, I love gay people.
I'm allowed to.
We here at Moscow Mules would like to categorically say, thanks to Elon Musk, we can say. We can say whatever we want. Thanks, Elon.
Thank you, President Vladimir, too.
Exactly. So that brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Moscow Mules. As usual, we've really enjoyed making it and we've really enjoyed having you along for the ride. We do love it. And what is it without you guys? Thanks for watching. Thanks for all your comments. Thanks for engaging. And I suppose this week has actually been about us gloating a little bit because it's a lonely job being out there like Oggy and I on the front lines of truth, constantly getting called all kinds of nasty names. They're kind of obsessed with sexual names, the NAFO guys and all our enemies, pedo, you know, kiddie filler, whatever you're into yourself. Well, we're not. And I know you've got an allergy to the truth, a lot of you Ukrainiacs and Ukro scammers, but we don't mind. And one thing that's for sure, we're going to be here same time, same place next week. And we're not going to stop telling you we told you so, but you're going to have to join us to hear it. And we'll see you same time, same place next week. Until then, look after yourselves.